Good morning. It's a delight to be with you today in a somewhat different relationship than I'm accustomed to as we connect with one another online, with one another. But as I'm here at this pulpit, here in this sanctuary, all sorts of rich and meaningful memories come to mind. But I do need to say, first of all, that I made a commitment to myself not to mention a single name, because then I'd never quit mentioning names of persons, and I'd inevitably miss someone or forget someone. But I'm reminded of the poet who said, "I have drunk from wells I did not dig. I've been warmed by fires I did not build." And in this church, through the ages, we continue to be warmed by fires and drunk from wells dug by individuals now in the great beyond, but whose influence and love we continue to harvest as a congregation and as a church family. In his book, a little book titled Prayers for a Social Awakening, Walter Rauschenbusch wrote this line in a prayer. He says, "For those who work on our behalf, that we might get a good night's sleep, we give thanks, O God." And certainly that's the case when we think about our life together as a congregation through the years. My final Sunday here at Chino was back in 1992. So I guess you'd say a few years have passed. And the fact that time has a way of passing kind of issues in the question that I'd like to ask you all this morning. And that is, through the passage of time, through the passage of the days, is there something to be said about growing in our Christian faith? Growing in our Christian life, is there somehow something a little bit different about Don Rowe now in 2021 compared to 1992? And that's a question that we can pose to each and every one of us, ourselves, this idea of growing in the Christian life, in the Christian faith, through the passage of time. We turn to the Old Testament, and we find examples where it is affirmed that something is taking place when time passes. In the 90th Psalm, the psalmist gives us that beautiful passage that we've often heard at funerals or memorial services. And in the 90th Psalm, in the 12th verse, the psalmist says, "Teach us to number our days, that we might get a heart of wisdom." Evidently, the psalmist believed that something can take place, something can be harvested by the passage of time, that it's possible through the passage of time to grow wiser about life in the seasons and chapters of our living. We turn to the New Testament and we find Jesus talking about the passage of time and often using analogies that emerge out of the heart of nature itself. We turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, the 28th verse, and Jesus says, "Consider the lilies of the fields and how they grow." Evidently, Jesus believed that we don't live in a static environment, that you could see it manifested even in a single lily, in a blossom of a lily, the possibility of growing along the way. In our scripture lesson that Jennifer just shared with us a few moments ago, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 says, "When as a child I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I put aside childish ways." And one chapter later, in 1 Corinthians 14, the Apostle Paul says, "Brethren, do not be children in your thinking, but in your thinking be mature." And so there we find it in the Holy Scriptures, this idea of becoming, this idea of growing and maturing in faith, that it's a possibility in our living. One final example that Paul cites is in the fourth chapter of his letter to the Ephesian church, where Paul talks about growing into mature personhood to the measure, the stature of the fullness of Christ. Again, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, who is the Christ. We move beyond the bounds of the Holy Scripture, and we find examples and illustrations of this idea that it's possible for us to grow and mature in our life and thinking. The poet E.E. Cummings said it so simply, but also beautifully, when he said, "One can never be born enough." It's one thing to be born again, but is it possible to be born again and again and again and again? And maybe there's something to be said about this idea of being born into a new day after one awakes from a night's sleep. This idea of growing in the harvest of life. And so that's the question I'd like to share this morning. Some thoughts on this idea that one is forever growing and maturing in one's journey of faith, in one's journey of discipleship. One of the early church fathers by the name of Irenaeus once said, "The glory of God is the human being fully alive. Faith with a growing edge. A discipleship that is maturing as we move through the seasons and the chapters of our living, the seasons and chapters of our life." I had a theology professor when I was a seminary student. His name was Harvey Potthoff. And Dr. Potthoff would, from time to time, say that life can either flatten out or life can flower out. Flattening versus flowering. Maybe this idea of growing and maturing in faith and discipleship has to do with the flowering of life. And I don't say that glibly, because remember, I'm saying that even in the midst of a pandemic, even in the midst of loss, even in the midst of grief, can there still be a sense of flowering, even in the midst of the difficulties of being human, the difficulties of the human journey? Where do we find hints of this idea that one, it can be growing in one's discipleship journey as followers of Jesus Christ? I think the Apostle Paul gives us a clue, again, in our scripture lesson that, again, Jennifer just shared, where in the 13th verse of 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says it so beautifully and so simply, "Faith and hope and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love." So friends, in the midst of our living, what is going on in your faith journey? What is going on in your life grounded in hope, in your pursuing the reality of hope, and what is going on in the quality of your loving. Are these unfolding realities in the midst of our living as human beings? Let me say a couple of things about this idea of faith. It's reported that a little boy was asked in a Sunday school class, as an elementary schooler, the Sunday school teacher asked, "What is faith?" And the little boy responded saying, "Faith is believing in something you know ain't so." Well, one can have such an image of faith. Faith is a sort of credulity in life. Faith is believing in the unbelievable. But could it be that faith is more of a relationship to life, a perspective in terms of seeing life, and faith involving belief and trust and a lived commitment, as like a swimming relationship to life? In order to swim, and I need to be above board about this, I'm a non-swimmer, so I'm reporting as an observer in relationship to all of you who are swimming. But it seems to me, if you're going to swim, you got to have some beliefs about the water. Beliefs about what the water is going to do for you, and some beliefs about what you need to do in relation to the water. Secondly, it seems to me, in order to swim, you have to have come to a pact, P-A-C-T, with the water. You might say you enter into a trust relationship with the water. And by the way, kids, that's the one that falls down for me. I've never made that pact, that trust relationship with the water. But then there's a third dynamic to swimming, I believe, observing you all in the pool having a great time, and that is you have a lived commitment in relationship to the water. You're not called to be a passive observer, but you're an active participant, practicing the art of swimming. And so, faith, I believe, is like that. A living relationship to life, the gift of life that God has given you, practicing your beliefs, trust, and lived commitment. A way of being in the world. It's far more than believing in the unbelievable. And so what is going on in your journey of faith through the passage of time? Hugh Thompson Curry, years ago, wrote a hymn titled, God of Our Life. And it has this verse in it. God of our life, through all the circling years, we trust in thee. In all the past, through all our hopes and fears, thy hand we see. With each new day, when the morning lifts the veil, we own thy mercies, Lord, which never fail. God of the coming years, through paths unknown, we follow thee. When we are strong, Lord, leave us not alone, our refuge be. Be thou for us in life our daily bread, our heart's true home when all our years have sped. This idea of maturing in faith as each day informs us in the journey and knowing in the midst of living life, the living God is in our midst. And by the way, this is about the best definition of an atheist I've ever heard. An atheist is a person who has no invisible means of support. And on the other hand, grounded in faith in relation to God, we have that invisible means of support. Secondly, let's take a moment to reflect on this idea of hope and hoping. What might we say about hope in our journey in hope? Speaking as a psychiatrist, Eric Erickson said, "Hope is both the earliest and most indispensable virtue inherent in the state of being alive. Where one loses hope, one dies in spirit." And remember that the Apostle Paul talks about the reality of hope, faith and hope in our journey. Now we have two possible images of hope that one can live with. And one image of hope is manifest in my email address. And let me warn you, I don't have a very theological email address. DodgerDon53@gmail.com. And the 53 is in tribute to Don Drysdale, because as a little boy, Don Drysdale was God. But anyway, that's one image of hope that's manifest in that email address, because as a fan of the Dodgers, and boy, I was in ecstasy last year when they won the World Series. That's one image of hope. Hope for a particular result, hope for a particular outcome. But yet, beyond that, there's another image of hope, and dare I say, I think that's even more powerful than hoping for a particular outcome. And that is hope grounded in a basic spirit about life itself. And a little boy declared at his fourth birthday party, he said, "I don't know what's going to happen, but I know something's going to happen." That was a hope-grounded statement. In a similar spirit, at an 80th birthday party, the missionary E. Stanley Jones had a birthday cake put before him with all 80 candles on it. And before he tried to blow out the candles, E. Stanley Jones made this beautiful statement. He said, "I don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future." That is grounded in hope. We might say that 4-year-old little boy and that 80-year-old retired missionary had a lot in common. In fact, they held in common a spirit toward life that the beloved jungle doctor Albert Schweitzer talked about when Schweitzer spoke of reverence for life. To have reverence for life is to be grounded in hope. In fact, going back to that statement from the theology professor, life flattening out or flowering out, the flowering out relationship to life is grounded in hope. Through the passage of time, what is going on with your hoping? Are you growing in hope? Someone once said, the most tragic thing in life is not death. It is not one's physical death, but rather that which dies within us while we yet live. The reality of hope and the possibility of growing and maturing along the way. But the story is not over there, because faith and hope and love abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. So affirmed the Apostle Paul. What is going on in the midst of the quality of our life in relation to love and loving? And Eric Fromm, another psychiatrist, once said that one of the distinguishing marks of a human being is the capacity to grow in the quality of one's loving. And then Fromm said that love is the only satisfactory answer to the problems of human existence. And evidently, Eric Fromm, by the way, a devout Jew, and also Jesus were on the same page, by the way, another devout Jew. When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment of all? Jesus spoke about loving God and loving one's neighbor. And so, friends, if love is the heart of the meaningful life, a meaningful existence, what is going on in the spirit of love in the midst of our aging? And are we growing and maturing in our love and loving? Love has a way of taking on all sorts of forms, all sorts of shapes. In fact, right now, just outside the sanctuary, there's delightful bird song going on. Could it be in the heart of nature itself? We're experiencing birds manifesting the reality of love, the very reality of God's grace in our very midst. That's just one way where love has a way of manifesting. Friends, our lives are so profoundly interwoven and interrelated, even in the midst of these times where a pandemic tends to separate us physically. But we can be drawn together by bonds in a power or the reality of love. What a beautiful thing that is. To know you're in the midst of reality of love, even as we connect through worship in these means. Years ago, when I was in seminary, and I met this individual in 1974, so this was a few years ago, I met a retired Methodist minister by the name of Otto Domer, 101 years old. Now, Otto had dimming eyesight. He had arthritis, had a difficult time getting around, but he lived in an apartment in the University Park area, a block from the seminary I went to. And he had an interesting ritual. He would find out who the first year students are doing that first quarter of seminary work, and he would call the students individually and invite him to come over to his apartment to get acquainted. And so my day came, and I got the phone call from Otto, and I agreed to go over, and we got acquainted. And we had a number of visits, and the time came that he died at the age of 103. But there was a very important element that whenever you got together with Otto, in fact, two elements, and it just so happens that they are here for our love feast. Because whenever you got together with Otto, somehow coffee and donuts would be a part of the equation. And so in a few moments, we'll be participating in a love feast, but I gotta tell you, I learned a long time ago that you don't have to have grape juice and bread to have communion. No, coffee and donuts will do the job. And so, in a very real way, in a few moments, I'll be reconnecting in another way with Otto Domer as he resides in the great beyond. But at one time, I asked him, Otto, you're a very special guy. And you mean so much to so many people. Tell me what your secret is. And he said, oh, I don't really have any secret. But then it's almost like he caught himself. Because he said, well, if I have a secret, it's this. When I wake up in the morning, I try to figure out one person that I could get in touch with that day. And then I try to get in touch with that individual. And when the day is over, when my head goes on the pillow, I think about who I could reach out the following morning. And so here's a guy, 101 years old, arthritis, failing eyesight, and you know what his number one problem was? Figuring out who to reach out to in love the next day. And it so happened back there in the mid-70s, and those of you that have the mileage, you might remember this. You remember the slogan from the telephone company? Reach out and touch someone. I'm not sure Otto ever got a single royalty from them, but that was the reality of love. Friends, faith and hope and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. In fact, one of the richest phrases in the New Testament that the Apostle Paul used more than once was the phrase, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the grace of Christ? Is it not the love expressed in his words? Was it not the love expressed in his presence? And maybe in some measure, that's what we mean by ministry of presence in those things. Those things manifested. In a similar spirit, a few centuries later, there was an individual by the name of Francis, St. Francis of Assisi. And he said, Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. In some way, maybe we could say that Francis is affirming that as one endeavors to be faithfully an instrument of peace, something is going on in the midst of faith and hope and also love. So friends, I think the authentic Christian life has something to do with the harvest of time growing one's faith and hope and love. And dare I say, it's possible to grow in faith and hope and love even in the midst of a pandemic. In fact, that bird outside is affirming that fact right now. So friends, may the peace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be yours now and forevermore. Amen.